Richard Haass, as you've been hearing on the news, says the DUP, the Ulster Unionists and the Lands Party have to justify their decisions not to sign up to his proposed agreement on flags, parades and dealing with the past. This is what he's had to say speaking on The View.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable, Mark, with the word failure. Obviously, it hasn't succeeded, but I think it's premature to do an autopsy or a post-mortem. There's still a chance this can move ahead, and I very much hope it will. I think the parties are going to have to defend their positions, why three in particular were not prepared to endorse this agreement that, quite honestly, I and we feel gave them more than enough to go out and defend it, not just to the general public, but to their own particular constituencies.
Speaking to Mark Crothers there on The View, that was Richard Haass. Dr. Haass has also asked if he'd consider returning to Northern Ireland to take part in further negotiations on these issues.
I really don't see the need for that. The whole idea was we would do this until December 31st. We gave it a tremendous amount of time and effort. Professor O'Sullivan has responsibilities teaching at Harvard. I have responsibilities here at the organization that I'm the president of. And I really believe the time has come for the five parties to take ownership of this agreement.
I don't think that was an attractive proposition in terms of returning back to Northern Ireland. But what happens next? Well, the journalist Brian Rowan's on the line, so too a Lands Party MLA, Naomi Long. Naomi Long, if I can start with you, you need to defend your position, sorry, a Lands MP. You need to defend your position, according to Dr. Haass.
Good morning, Joel. Well, I'm more than happy to set out the Lands Party position. I don't see it as a defensive one. I see it as an open and an honest one. We were very clear throughout the process that what we wanted to do was have an ambitious agreement for the people of Northern Ireland that would deal with some of these very vexed issues. And what we got in the end, in some parts, was an ambitious deal. So, for example, we said clearly on the evening when the talks concluded that we thought the deal on the past was there. It was a good deal, and it was a deal that was worth implementing, and that we would not only be part of the implementation, but we would drive that process, and I stand over that. On the issue of parades, the structures around parades progressed. Unionists want those structures changed, and we were happy to cooperate with that. But ultimately, structures alone will not deliver peace at places like Ardoyne, where there are contested parades. That will come down to behaviour and people's respect for the rule of law, both protesters and paraders. And it was very clear at the end of that process that there was still dispute between unionists and nationalists, and indeed with ourselves, around the degree to which people were willing to, for example, accept a code of conduct to apply to all parades, and also accept responsibility as parade and protest.
Where did you stand on a code of conduct? Did you want it enshrined in law?
We want to see it enshrined in law. We want those who organise parades and protests to take responsibility for those on parade and protest. We want individuals to be accountable for their actions when they breach the code of conduct.
So the fact that it wasn't enshrined in law was one of the deal breakers for you. The fact that it wasn't.
No, because the deal is not broken. And this is the really important point, Joel. The deal is not broken. But it is going to be an issue when we come to implement this in legislation, because we will want to see that enshrined in law. It is, in fact, in the document that it will be legally binding. However, it's clear from what unionists have said that they will want to unpick that at the legislative stage. And so what we're saying, if you like, is green light on the past, amber light on parades. We think there's progress being made. We can make more progress, and we're committed to do that. But we are concerned of any weakening of the rule of law around this, because it's the kind of cherry-picking around the rule of law that has made the parades issue so fraught. On the issue of flags, there was no agreement. It was spelt out in black and white in the document that there was no agreement. Richard Haass said again last night there was no agreement on flags. Now, I was very clear when I went into the talks that I wasn't going to go and cook fudge, nor was it going to come out afterwards and sell fudge. And what we got on flags was basically fudge to try and make the lack of a deal and the lack of progress by other parties more palatable to the public. I won't be part of that illusion. I'm not going to play the emperor's new clothes with this. I'm being honest with people, because they would expect nothing less. I'm saying there was no deal on flags. And the reason, Joel, and this is important because he asked us to justify it, the reason was unionists refused to deal with the unofficial flags on lampposts because they were not willing to face down their hardliners. And nationalists refused to deal with official flags on buildings because they do not want to acknowledge that Northern Ireland has a constitutional position within the United Kingdom. And those two things derailed any progress on flags, and therefore a commission which talks about this for another 18 months, unless we see a change in attitudes, isn't going to get us the deal that people want. People want this off the table.
How do you feel about the fact that Dr. Haas has sort of lumped the Alliance and the DUP and the Ulster Unionist Party sort of all in together as the parties who broke the deal almost, you know, couldn't accept that his document was workable?
Well, I think there are two things, Joel. I think, first of all, Richard Haas more than earned the right to have an opinion on this. He gave 6 months of dedicated and committed service to trying to move this on. And so I understand his frustration. More than that, I share his frustration at the lack of progress. I believe if his frustration was directed at us, and I'm not sure it was actually, that it's misdirected. However, I'm more concerned about the frustrations of the people of Northern Ireland who want to see these issues not talked about interminably, but resolved.
But it's almost as if the perception might be that you've sort of been lumped into an anti-camp, anti-this-deal camp, anti-this-document.
No, and if that is the perception, I don't know that would be the perception that Richard Haas would have wanted to create. It's certainly not reasonable. I mean, our position is quite distinct from the unionists. The unionists think these proposals go too far. I mean, our problem is that we think they're not ambitious enough. They don't go far enough. They're concerned about what's in the document. They're saying that what's in the document is too much for them to be able to take to their constituency. We're actually concerned about what isn't in the document. So, you know, I mean, it's a very distinct position from others, and indeed, those who signed up to the document are concerned that there are things absent from it if you listen to what Sinn Féin and the SDLP have said when they've actually been given the chance to articulate it. So I think rather than us create the illusion that there is this kind of common ground between all five parties, we have been very honest in saying these parts we think can work. These parts are ready to go. And there are other parts where we don't believe enough has been done. But what we've also said, Joel, and I think this is critical, is that we want to go into any working group, and we, for example, will be meeting with other parties on Monday. The party group leaders will be meeting on Tuesday. And we have said that we want to go into a very focused and time-limited process to actually move what we can of this forward and to close the gaps. We don't want to go into another talks process that goes on and on and on and allows people to avoid taking tough decisions, but we do want to get this done.
As the First Minister says, that you know this working group will be set up, outstanding areas of disagreement could be resolved, and then agreements, when identified, could be implemented. I mean, is there anything even that you think would be ready to go quite quickly?
Well, from our perspective, as I say, we think that the stuff on the past is ready to go. We think that the deal that is on the paper on the past is a good deal. It will deliver more for.
But do you think all the parties in the working group would be going in and saying, on the past, this is pretty good, this can go?
I think that that's a matter that's going to have to be taken up with the party, certainly from what Sammy Wilson and Ian Paisley Jr. were saying in Parliament on Wednesday in response to the Secretary of State. It would appear that they, whether they're speaking for the DUP as such, it's not quite clear because they were much more negative than their party leader. But nevertheless, they seem to say they had serious reservations about it. But from our point of view, and I'm only accountable for what Alliance can do, from our point of view, we believe that the deal on the past will deliver more for victims and survivors. We believe it can also unlock reconciliation in Northern Ireland. And ultimately, Joel, people would be shocked if the Alliance Party were not in here fighting for a shared
future. No, I know that. But I'm keen to get your view.
And it works, I think, on parades if people will commit to the rule of law.
Yeah, but I'm keen to get your view on, you know, if there's anything that you think, if there's any, for people who are hoping that there will be some sort of agreement on some aspect of this document, if your hunch or your view, having been in the middle of this, is that there is any area where agreement, as the First Minister said, could be, you know, identified. Agreement would be identified, and there would be some implementation of anything that is in that Haas document in terms of what you've seen in the discussions, in terms of what you've heard afterwards. You know, is there anything that you think could be implemented in that deal that would reach agreement of all five parties anytime soon?
Well, I think we were asked to justify our position by Richard Haas, and that's what I'm doing. I think the other parties who asked to justify their position haven't been clear about where their problems with the document are and what they're willing to progress. I mean, I wasn't, for example, aware that the DUP viewed the HIU as fanciful until Ian Paisley Jr. said so in Parliament on Wednesday, because in the talks, There seemed to be broad agreement around that.
You don't sound overly hopeful, Naomi.
Well, based on what I had heard, well, no, I mean, this is not about being hopeful or not hopeful. This is about being realistic with people, because the one thing I don't want to do, Joel, and particularly with the past, because let's remember that there are families who are hurting over the past. And we need to be hugely sensitive about raising people's expectations around this, only for them to be dashed. I don't want to be the cause of more pain to those who have already suffered so much. So I'm not going to be optimistic or pessimistic. I'm simply going to be realistic and honest. And the truth is that sitting through the talks, I thought we had agreement on the structures around the past. And I thought that the past was by far the most agreed and developed section. I knew that unionists had difficulties with some of the thematic stuff. But even around that, I thought we had worked through that to a point where they were more comfortable with it than they had been.
Okay.
And what I found on Wednesday was that even some of the structures were being called into question. Now, that raises a wider question of good faith in these negotiations. And all I can say is we went in good faith. We brought in progressive solutions and reasonable solutions. We were willing to compromise. Indeed, anyone who has or hasn't seen the drafts that went through this process will say that Alliance is willing to compromise in some pretty important ways.
So are you accusing some of the others of not entering? Are you accusing some of the others of not entering the process in good faith?
Well, I think that there is a question to answer if people are now unpicking even those areas that appear to be agreed around the table last week. I think that is a serious question. I'm not going to make accusations, because my job now and our job as a party is to try to drive forward agreement where we can get it. And I don't think recrimination, party versus party, will help us to do that, Joel. But look, what I need to say is this. I went in to deliver on a shared future and the promise of a shared future for the people of Northern Ireland. I believe the deal on the past meets that test. I believe that a deal on parades, which is robust around rule of law and conduct, can meet that test and has real promise. I believe that on flags, there are parties in this process who want to keep that sectarian pot on the boil. Now, we don't. We don't. We want us to get agreement on that and not allow this to fester and cause the kind of damage it has over the last year to society. I believe the people of Northern Ireland want it sorted, and they want it sorted now. They don't want to talk and shop for 18 months. They don't want it to be the defining point in politics for the next 18 months. And I share their frustration and disappointment, but we'll go in over the next 18 months, and we will try to deliver a good result, because that's what Alliance is about.
That's Naomi Long, the Alliance MP.